Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone, and welcome. I forgot to change it, but that's okay. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. That's probably the only time I'm going to play it. But anyway, welcome to the Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein, and all I can say is that was a very, very interesting matchup as the United States defeats Iceland by a final of 3-2 at the StubHub Center, and chat room is about to open up right about now, so come on in. This will be a 30-minute recap show here as the United States, you know, you have to say, and to be honest, you know, this is only the first match of the 2016 season for the U.S. men's national team. And I have to say that for Klinsmann and the players he had out there, there were some good things and there were some bad things. And the bad things we'll definitely talk about, obviously. And one of the bad things I thought was the second goal. The second goal that they conceded was absolutely terrible. I thought it was an absolutely a terrible botch. It was terribly botched, and I thought that that was just a just terrible, because I understand you're arguing about a foul, and that's fine. You want to argue about a foul, that's fine. But still, I think that I just think that, unfortunately, it was a very, very bad, costly thing to give up. I didn't think it was good goal to give up. I thought it was really a poor goal, to be honest with you. It was a poor goal to give up, and they shouldn't have done that. But let me say this. They fought back, not once but twice. And when they were able to go out there and to perform very strongly and to do a good job of fighting back, and that's what you want. You want to see the boys fighting back. And I thought they did that. I thought they did that well. Pardon me. I thought they did that well in this matchup. And that's all you can really ask for. They fought back hard. Josie got his goal. Great second equalizer from Michael Orozco. And there's Steve Birnbaum, who's like right there, who was right there to head in that big winner to make it 3-2. And for the United States, they're off to a good start. Not a great start. I really believe that at the moment, there are certain players that are ready to play. There are certain players that are not ready to play. But you know what I saw a little bit of smarts from Jordan Morris. I thought he absolutely had a good moment. I thought he had a good moment where the Steve Birnbaum goal, he faked leaping up and because he saw Birnbaum coming from the back end. And when Birnbaum scored it, you know, I mean, great goal by him. But I also thought great job by Jordan Morris showing some smarts there, because obviously everyone in Iceland knew about this kid and what he's all about, you know, for MLS and everything. And when he faked out the leap, great, great job by Morris to fake going for the header, for the leaping header, because Birnbaum came behind him, screamed for it, and he scored. So that's a great job. And that shows you Jordan Morris has smarts. He knows when to go. He knows when not to go. And at the same time, he knows when there's a fake play happening. So I think that was a great job for him. I think that, you know, we're going to see a lot more of Jordan Morris. I know there are people that are disappointed that he did not stay at Werder Bremen to get development time, but still, I think when you're talking about a national team like ours, and you're asking the questions of where is the next player coming and where are they going to get their minutes, they need to get their minutes somewhere. And I understand Werder Bremen is a better league. You know, they are in a better league, Werder Bremen, obviously. We're not questioning that. What we're saying is this. Jordan Morris needs to get his minutes because the USA needs players. And sometimes the question marks are, where are they coming from? And if they're not going to get their time, then, you know, where are they going to come from? And that's always been the big question mark, hasn't it? Minutes. Minutes, minutes, minutes. So we'll see what happens. If anyone wants to call in, and of course, why not get this man's opinion after this whole matchup? Of course, it's Stephen Brandt from the Yellow Card Podcast. Stephen, how are you?
Damn it, I forgot you actually know my number. I forgot that you know it.
Shh, not so loud. I don't want to give it away.
Well, that's okay. What's funny about that is I did a call-in show for my show once, and you know, you read out the phone number. I'm looking at the phone number for my show on Blog Talk, yep. And I give out my cell phone number.
Yes,
so completely different numbers. Completely. Now, well, you know, one of the reasons why I was calling in is you were saying that Jordan Morris needed to get minutes in MLS over Werder Bremen. Slight problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Slight problem with that. Okay, so the fact that Clint Dempsey's older than Sin and likes to rip up foam notebooks, and
yes,
you've got Obafemi Martins, who I've never rated anyway, he would have had a lot easier time playing for Werder Bremen because he would have had to be thrown in right away because they really don't have much. I mean, they have Claudio Pizarro, who's probably 842 years old at this point. He's the same age as I am at this point. But mm-hmm. They needed the second scorer up there. And I think putting him against better teams, as Chris said on my show, I think it was on yours, I have no idea, would have helped develop him better. The problem is him going there. What if Seattle gets off to a bad start and they fire Siggy? You got to get a whole new coaching staff in there. You have a whole new group of people that are going to try. And Werder Bremen, barring anything, I mean, they may go down, they may not. He's going to get time regardless. And it's not like we're talking about a 19-year-old here. He's 21. He's 21 here now. He's still a spring chicken. But I would have liked to see him play against better talent. Now, their MLS now, and MLS what it was when he probably started in the Sounders camp things, there's a higher degree of difficulty, but I'm still not sure he will get that many minutes because the spotlight's going to be on him completely, and he's a taller, lot younger Freddie Adu at this point. Because he's going to be Freddie Adu because he does something wrong and he's going to be yelled at. He goes to Werder Bremen and does something wrong, yeah, he'll get yelled at about it, but it's going to be in a language he doesn't know.
Yep. And don't get me wrong. I mean, look, if Jordan Morris was going to sign with Bremen, you know, that's fine. I mean, I just want him to get minutes. That's all I want. I just want our kids that are going to be playing in Europe who are attackers and, you know, creative midfielders, I want them to get their minutes, because let's be honest here, our national team needs these guys now. I mean, you would agree with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we need to get rid of the players that are slow out there. I mean, Kyle Beckerman, for God, is as great as he's been for the league. The original team he came in has been gone for 10 years. So that says as much as he's needed to get out of there for a while. I mean, you need to clean sweep a bunch of people off this team. The fact that Jermaine Jones is still there is really only because our national team is German, basically. That's mm-hmm. the only reason. I mean, Bob Bradley would not have Jermaine Jones anywhere near the team. Of course, he probably wouldn't have Fabian Johnson, but it's a par for the course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, when we play against Canada on Friday, it's going to be a walkthrough. Because, I mean, barring Kyle Larin going crazy, it's going to be somewhat the same, to be honest with you. I mean, I want Canada to do well because it's another CONCACAF team that's going to be good. But if they don't come out and show anything, and it's an extra week of Jason Kreis, I'm afraid for the rest of the year, to be honest with you. I mean,
yep.
I have no trust in anybody on this team at all. And that's saying me. I mean, I'm seeing my AO stuff right now, and I feel kind of dirty for it.
Okay, go take a shower.
I've already taken two today.
Oh, take a third. Get the hat trick. But anyway. but I agree with you. I definitely agree with you because I know Guatemala is not looking strong right now, and the real question mark is, what are they going to do in Guatemala? Because obviously all the stops are going to get pulled. You're going to see all the stops getting pulled by Guatemala. They're going to try and do this. They're going to try and do that. They're going to try and, you know, attempt to injure, like the last time. I remember the last time that happened, at their place. When they come up here, you know, it's always going to be the time-wasting and fighting for the point or for the draw or whatever it is. But the point is, you know, Klinsmann is really going to find out a lot worse when you're taking on a team like Guatemala at their place.
Yeah, I mean, and I think once we get into the Guatemala game, you're going to see the Colorado Rapids new players come in. Like, I mean, you're going to see Tim Howard. You're going to see the Nantes player come in. And it's going to be a much better team. But we have to develop what's coming behind the team, coming behind it, because he's not going to always be able to call on everybody. And Aaron Johansson's injured, so he has to bring in Jordan Morris, which is fine enough as is, because Jordan Morris is probably, realistically, talent-wise, one of the top three strikers up there. But I just feel uneasy about this year, and maybe I'm not the only one.
I mean, look, I mean, there's a lot of question. I mean, if you really think about this, Stephen, this is there's a bridge to be crossed. Let's be honest with ourselves right now. There is a bridge to be crossed right now with this U.S. national team, with what Jurgen has been doing. And the big question mark is, does he stay as coach or does he stay as technical director? Because somewhere down the road, he can't do both. I know he's doing both, but the truth of the matter is, he can't do both. He's got to be one or the other and let Herzog or Kreis run the national team, since Kreis is not with a club team right now, obviously, a la NYCFC. But the truth of the matter is, let's be honest, there's a lot of issues that are right in front of us that need to be addressed. And one of them was, you cannot continue to argue with the referee and allow Iceland a free shot down the field and score, which is what they did to make it 2-1, early in the second half. That is a major no-no. That should never have happened.
Exactly, but are we really sure that he actually has both jobs? I mean, you read enough online that Jason Kreis was actually running the practices in the January camp, and that's why they kind of look better. And you hear enough that Greg Boholter's brother is actually the man behind the technical director job. It's just Let's parade the crazy German out in front of the media to tell people that they're important. I mean, I would like to have some transparency
yes.
in the sport. Now, that's not possible, because if we do that with FIFA alone, I mean, you'll be sitting in the corner shaking with half the stuff that happens there. I think there has to be defined roles with the team. I want to say, okay, Brad Guzan's the number one. Tim Howard's the number one. I want to know exactly, boom, boom, boom. Because you look at the top teams out there, and there aren't any wishy-washy, oh, this player can come in for this. There aren't nations out there that have one team for Europe games and one team B games. They have a set group. I mean, look at Germany. Germany could probably field three teams of talent alone and win with three teams alone. Jurgen has so many different teams that he calls up that do we really know what his ideal starting 11 actually is?
Right now, no.
Yeah, and that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like Jurgen is a stupid man by stretched imagination. It's not like he doesn't know the sport. He was a hell of a striker. But it seems like his brain went out when he took management jobs. And I want him to succeed. I want the team to succeed. I want to say to my nephew that the U.S. national team is good. Because
mm-hmm.
he has in his back pocket, he can watch England because he's British.
Right.
So he could say, forget that. Or what happens when Sidney LaRue's kid comes up? He's got three teams there that he could go for. If there isn't enough talent or enough, like when you had Bruce Arena or Bob Bradley, you could start losing players.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's the one thing that Jurgen needs to make sure about, that everyone gets their playing time, hopefully. And, you know, for him to have a set lineup whenever you're getting ready, not just for these World Cup qualifiers against Guatemala, which will be a tough task, but let's not forget, this coming June, the entire month of June, the Copa America Centenario is coming. You're going to take on some top and tough national teams from South America, maybe one of the four extra CONCACAF teams from the group or from the Pot D region. It's going to have to see what's going to happen with Jurgen because, you know, these are the games that he wants. These are the games that he wants that he needs to play that's going to mean a lot. And, I mean, you know, he's got to bring out a strong starting 11, strong substitution patterns to make everything better.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I hope the Copa is great. And I mean, it's going to be in our neck of the woods between you and I. So, I mean, it's going to be something fun to see. I don't want another Gold Cup going around. I don't want us to bow out because we're at a time, and you and I have been following soccer long enough, where it's truly overtaken a couple weeks in the States, where you see people all over wearing soccer jerseys. It used to be, and I don't know about you and where you live, but in Buffalo, I see every day people wearing soccer jerseys. 5 years ago, I didn't see that.
Five years ago,
it was just 5 years ago, it was me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have my typical three or four Liverpool jerseys and a Fort Lauderdale Strikers one, but a couple others laying around, but that's a whole other issue. Now, it's like everybody likes this sport, and it's like the Federation is back in the 1930s going, well, we can't do this. Says who? They gotta get to young people like us that wanted to succeed, not the old crotchety people like Sunil and
mm-hmm.
God forbid. I mean, I want this sport to be as great as it should be, but I'm kind of worried. I'm kind of worried about it. I mean, MLS is never gonna go away. I think in the next 5 years, NASL's gone. But I want what we see today to be just as good, because I've got nieces and nephews coming up that should love the sport.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And I agree with you. I feel that, you know, I don't want to, you know, talk about a possible disappearance of the NASL, but, you know, let's be honest, unless something big turns around for them, you know, we got to be worried about these clubs that, you know, want to be in the second division, that want to be a part of that league. I think they have to, I think the opening closing season part needs to go back to a full season. I think they just have got to go that route, because I feel that's the only way for them to survive. That's how I feel personally, not telling them what they should or shouldn't do. But personally, I feel that might be the way to do it, because I just got a funny feeling it's, if they don't go back to the, I guess, traditional way MLS or European soccer to have a full season, then definitely I just don't see them surviving. Like you said, another 5-6 years and it could be over.
Well, what the NASL should be, and Kardec said this online, I think yesterday, is that it should be the real breeding ground for these young players, because you've got a lot of players that come in through the college system and just sit the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, USL is getting a lot of those players time, but what about the rest? I mean, what if Jordan Morris doesn't really play that well and rides the bench? Throw him down somewhere like, oh, God, I almost called the Republic an ASL team, but send him down to somewhere like OKC. Send him down to Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Send him down to a team that has a good connection where you can actually develop him. I mean, we have seen Freddie Adu come back. Now, he may never get back to the U.S. national team, but I watched some of those Rowdies games after he signed, and he actually looked like he was pretty decent, and you need that for these players, whereas you've got them all over the world. I mean, Keith Saavedra, where is he?
Yep.
Dennison Hammond is overseas at Fulham, which, God love Russ Goldman being a Fulham fan, but really, when you think of development of players, do you think of Fulham?
No.
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 And do you want to put these players into the Dutch teams? No.
No.
Because we saw what happened to when Altidore came out of them. He can't score now. The ideal place is probably France or Germany.
But yep.
God forbid. I mean, that's just a rant. That's just the ranting of a spotless mind right now.
Yeah. You know, I let you do it.
Yeah, of course. That's why when you said you were at the call-in show, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go abuse this privilege real fast.
Yes, you are, and I let you do it. Because listen,
exactly.
You have this. Yeah, because you have the same worries that I do. Sometimes it's depth chart, and to be honest with you, in Europe, it's about they have more knowledge about the players in Europe than they do in the U.S. That's just the truth, you know? And while Miazga is going to, going to be with Chelsea now, no one in Chelsea or in England knew who this kid was because, you know, thanks to Drogba, who's in Montreal, who called them up and said, listen, take him now. He's ready.
I wouldn't put anybody at any of the top teams in England for a long time. Maybe Liverpool and maybe Southampton. Only because they know what they're doing. Liverpool's got more players out on loan than I have been alive. I mean, they've got 38 players out on loan, and I'm 36 right now. 37 in a month and a half. But then they're taking Miazga, who is going to be a good player. But is he Chelsea good?
That's
probably
the big question
not.
Mark. That's the big question mark, actually.
I mean, is he Chelsea related? Probably not. Now, Chelsea right now, and they will always be, barring my complete and utter bias, they're always probably going to be a mid-level team. They just have Russian oil money behind them, and they can fire a manager every 30 seconds.
Yep.
This is going to harm him for a while. Now, is Miazga a good enough player and can see around it? Of course. And being around very good players is going to help him. And he does have the added advantage is that John Terry's on his last legs, and he's been on his last legs for about 3 years. So there will be some time there for him. But what about next year? Send him out on loan where he can get more than one game every 3 days.
Because yep.
England is not the place where they like to play young players.
I know.
Jurgen Klopp is getting derided over in England for basically he pulled back all of the players on loan. When he came in, Brendan Rodgers sent all the players out on loan. All his young players out on loan. Jurgen Klopp said, screw that, they're all coming back. And he uses all of them. And
yeah.
The English media doesn't like that because it's not how England does it. And you see why they're bad. Now, you have great coaches there. I am sure the youth coach at Chelsea is probably better than some of the managers that are over here. And again, Stuart Pearce is out of a job and has been campaigning for 4 years to coach in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
More than once. And he actually said it on Fox, he said it on ESPN, and he just said it in the NSCA conference. Maybe he will get good, but this belief that Jurgen has that you have to send them out is bad because look what has happened when you've brought some of the players back. I think Michael Bradley doesn't have every great game, but do you expect out of, what, a 28, 29-year-old to be awesome every single minute? No.
Yes! No.
Do you expect every single game he's going to be great? No. Not everybody's
no.
Landon Donovan. Not everybody's that little midget, Landon Donovan. But he's doing pretty well over here. So, I mean, I would say keep a number of them. I mean, you're not going to be able to bring everybody back. That's
no.
just not going to be possible. Tim Ream's probably never coming back. Jeff Cameron's probably never coming back. And you probably will never see John Anthony Brooks come over. Fine. Europe isn't the only thing for these players. And I think that's what's holding the team back is that you have such a mentality and the pay for play.
Mm-hmm.
We will never get our own payway because his parents won't give a fortune to maybe play. And
right.
I won't get into that one.
No.
So, I mean, I hope that we're going to do it. And this was a step. I saw a lot of good of this game. I'm not trying to be all down about it. But
yeah.
I think there's enough with the team and enough of the coaches with the team. And we know some of the other coaches that are there. Tony Meola's been there. Eric Winalda is loosely in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And you see some of these names that are there. That there is some talent around. I just want it nurtured the right way. And maybe that's
mm-hmm.
asking too much.
No, I don't think so. I think it's asking the right way. All right, Steven, so listen, show's over. So thanks for calling in. And I'll definitely talk to you next time, okay?
Yeah, no problem, man.
Thank you very much, Steven Brandt from the Yellow Carded Podcast. You'll also hear it on blogtalkradio.com. That will do it for the post-game show, the United States defeating Iceland by a final of 3-2. Thanks, Stephen Brandt, for calling in. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow night on the Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. Bye-bye for now.